I pray you're singing these hymns in your heart and thinking about the words, not just the melody, but the words. My wife has a scripture writing plan for this month. In case, ladies, you haven't gotten one for February. Is that today? It's coming. It is. I feel like we're in February already. That's the problem. Listen, for the month of February, ladies, if you haven't gotten one, if you'll see Miss Shannon, she'd be happy to get that into your hands. And it's just something in addition to help you to stay faithful in your personal time with the Lord and be able to think about the Scriptures. And it's on a different subject every month. And I pray, ladies, you'll participate in that. And perhaps there's coming a time when you can have some time to talk about that as well in the near future. So we're excited about that. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. And we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. Amen. I pray you're excited about that. It's going to be a little bit of fun. Might be a little bit of nervousness for you. But don't be scared. I'm going to be right here with you. And we're going to have a good time tonight. Lord willing, because I want us to begin working with what we've learned up to this point. How many understand this by saying amen? God's design for biblical instruction is for you and I to apply truth. Amen? That was a weak amen. How many people understand this? That God's instruction, His design for our instruction, is to apply biblical truth. Somebody say amen. That's a little bit better. We're going to get you broken into this here in just a moment and get you talking about some things. But listen, I hope you understand this. This is the goal. God's design for us is that as we take in the Word of God, that we don't just have a knowledge of it, but that the Holy Spirit of God, as we say yes to the Lord, conforms us to the image of His dear Son. It's an upward ascent to glory. That's the design, okay? And so as we learn things, God designs for us to be changed in our lives from the inside out. Now, outside-in change only lasts for a little while. But inside-out change, meaning that God works in your heart, and thus that produces change, in the outside, that is realized spiritual growth. And that's what we want to see. And so we're going to apply some of that truth tonight. We're going to endeavor to start the process. So we already said this, that there's some things we identified that must be present in personal evangelism. I'm not going to ask you to name them. I'll just name them for you. The Holy Spirit of God, we understand He's at work in this world. We can't drum that up, by the way. Listen, the Spirit moves where He listeth. In other words, the third person of the Trinity works according to His plan, not yours. You understand what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit of God is required. Number two, the Word of God is a necessity, because we understand faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then by that passage in Romans, we discovered this, that you and I are involved in God's plan to be able to tell others about Jesus. We're necessarily involved in this. And so then we must ask the question, what must you and I do to be involved in God's plan for us to tell others about Jesus? Well, there's three things that you and I must be. Number one, we must be a preacher of the gospel, meaning that we declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We herald the truth. We're not interested in changing the truth. We're just heralding what God has recorded for us. Amen? And so we're heralding the truth. That's a preacher. Number two, we are a teacher, meaning this, that we're helping people to understand what the Bible says. And so biblical terms that we use, somebody coined the term Christianese. We're going to explain some of those things to people as we're reading the Scriptures to them. And so we're going to help them and teach. Then, lastly, with God's help, we must investigate. And we might use the biblical term discern, because discernment is from the Lord, to discern where persons are in this process of showing them the way to God. In other words, what do they understand? What don't they understand? You know, when a young child tells you this, I've never sinned, I've never done anything wrong, They are not there yet. Does that make sense? By the way, when an adult tells you that same thing, I've never done any wrong, they're not there yet, okay? So you can't just breeze past that and say, well, that's all right, we're going to go on to the next step anyways. No, you have to figure out and discern with the Holy Spirit's help and through the ministry of the Word of God where that person is spiritually speaking. And so we talked about last time the four contexts. One of them is the context of talking to a family member, right? What does that look like? We thought about what would it be like to talk to a coworker. We thought about what would it be like to talk to someone who comes to the church meetings, and how would we address that conversation? And then we said this, how do we deal with somebody who is a complete stranger? We've never met them before. How do we deal with that? And so tonight I want us to deal with this entry point. It is this. You ready for it? We have a roll of drums. The introduction. The introduction, okay? This is a chapter entitled The Introduction. I'm also going to give you the five steps tonight as well. But I want us to deal with this most difficult part. And I say it's the most difficult part because you might say it this way. It is the icebreaker. How many know this? When you get a big group of people together, you have what they call an icebreaker. You know what the point of that icebreaker is? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. What's the point? You all get to know each other. That's right. So the introduction is the icebreaker. This is you getting to know the person you're talking to and vice versa. It is opening the door. And so I want you to understand, in every context of life, you and I have to begin with an introduction, okay? And so you can't, let's say somebody opens the door and you're there from Liberty Baptist Church. You can't, as soon as they open the door, whack them in the face with the Bible and say, you're a sinner on your way to hell, right? It's not going to work out well for you if you do that. And so there must be an introduction. And I'm being over the top, of course, saying it that way. But you know, there's going to be times in your life where God opens the door of opportunity to you. In other words, there's going to be situations where God will send somebody to you, and God already, by His providence, by His design, opens the door, the introduction for you. I can think of some biblical references. You can write these down. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember Philip the evangelist was called out of revival to go to the middle of nowhere to run up aside a chariot where a fella just happens to be reading out of the book of Isaiah dealing with Jesus Christ. And as Philip approaches the chariot, I think it's interesting, the fella didn't say, why are you running so fast next to my chariot? It says, hey, do you understand what you read? Philip asked the guy. And the guy doesn't say, why are you running to my chariot? He says, no, how can I except a man show me? This is a providential appointment by God for Philip to be able to give the gospel to this Ethiopian eunuch. But can I tell you tonight that most of your occurrences are not going to be like that. Most of the time, you're going to be starting the introduction. Let me give you another one. The jailer in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 32. Paul and Silas are in prison there, you'll remember, and they're singing hymns all the night long. By the way, how many of us would be singing hymns all the night long if we were locked up in a jail cell somewhere? But they are. They're singing to the Lord, and they're giving praise, honor, and glory. This massive earthquake takes place, and all the jail cells are opened, and all the chains are let free. And the guy, the jailer, is getting ready to kill himself, you'll remember, because he understood if he loses these prisoners, guess what? His life is finished. It's over. And Paul yells out and says, guess what? Don't do any harm to yourself. We're all here. And guess what? The jailer comes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Can I tell you, I have never had somebody come up to me and say, sir, what must I do to be saved? Except perhaps if it was at an invitation, somebody coming forward after the gospel was preached. But this was a divine appointment, a divine opportunity that God allowed in the providence, His providence in the life of Paul. What about Nicodemus, John chapter number 3? You remember this, that Jesus is there, and Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he says, "Sir, I know you're a teacher sent from God." He opens wide the door of opportunity, and the Lord, of course, steps right through and talks to him about the fact that he needs to be born again. Those are all unusual circumstances. That's not the norm. The norm is that in most cases, you and I are going to have to engage in a conversation with somebody on purpose and turn that conversation towards these matters of eternity. You're going to have to take the step. You're going to have to take the plunge. You're going to have to make the effort. It's not every day that somebody's going to walk in and say, "Hey, I don't know you, but I believe you walk with God. I need to know how to be saved." Now, those opportunities may happen. You may get someone who asks you a question. And by the way, let me just say this. If you're living for the Lord, people may come to you thinking that you're walking with the Lord even though they're not saved. That may happen. They may come to you in times of difficulty and say, "Hey, I need prayer." And that's a door of opportunity, by the way, not only to pray for them, but why don't you turn the conversation and say, "Hey, I can pray for you, but wouldn't it be great if you could just pray and ask the Lord yourself?" They say, "Well, I can't do that. I'm not a Christian." Would you like to be a Christian? Would you like to know that heaven's your home and Jesus is your Savior? It might be an opportunity for you to do that. And so what I'm telling you is you and I must endeavor to, one, introduce ourselves, two, turn the conversation to the Lord. Now, the exercise I want us to try tonight, we're about to do it here in just a minute, is a matter of role-playing with a partner. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to recite the Ten Commandments backwards in Hebrew. We're not going to do that, okay? I'm not going to ask you to recite the Ten Commandments out of the Septuagint in Greek. I'm not going to ask you to do that. So you're good. It's going to be real easy. But I want us to do this right now for just a second. I want you to determine who is your partner going to be. Now, you might look to your left and right if you're a married couple and say, "Guess what? I've got my partner right here." But let's just take a minute. I want you to look and find out who's your partner going to be right now. Look around. All right, we got some partners back there. We got some partners back there. Y'all want to do we got a need for a partner here. We're going to group up. Don't worry, it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be difficult. It's actually going to be a little bit of fun. Okay, I think most everybody has a partner. If not, I'll be a partner times 10. I don't mind. It's fine. We'll get this thing done. All right, so what I want you to do just for a few moments, this will be a lot of fun, is I want you with your partner, whoever that is I want you to go down the scenario I'm about to tell you. Now, one of you is going to be the person being talked to. The other person is going to be the one doing the talking, okay? So here's the scenario. It's very easy. I'm giving you two easy scenarios tonight, and this is going to be a little bit of fun. It's kind of like a little bit of talking to one another here for a moment. And you all know each other, so listen, don't give each other a hard time. Just go through this situation. Here's the situation. Y'all ready for it? Listen carefully. Somebody comes in to Liberty Baptist Church. They visit here on a Sunday. They sit through the whole service. And Pastor James preaches the message. Amen. Pastor James has an invitation, but now the service is over. Now you and your partner, one of you is going to be the one that goes over to the person who's visiting with us. And that person is getting ready to exit the church house. What I want you to do is this. I want you to introduce yourself as if you're introducing yourself to a visitor. And then I want you to somehow, some way, turn the conversation to Jesus. So it might go something like this. Just thinking this through. I'm going to give you an example. "Hi, my name is James Granadetti. Thank you so much for visiting with us today. I'm so glad that you attended. How did you hear about the church today?" Amen. That's a beautiful sign, isn't it? "Well, I'm glad you came today. But you know what? More important than attending church is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you know Him as your personal Savior?" There you go. And we're done. That's all I want you to do. I want you to role play as if you're talking to someone for the very first time. How are you going to do it? How are you going to introduce yourself? And then I want you to turn the conversation. Doesn't have to be after the first line. Could be after the fifth line. You could ask them, say, hey, I'm glad you came. Did you grow up in church? You could have a conversation. But at some point, I want you to turn the conversation and ask them if they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Ask them, maybe you can ask it this way. Are you a Christian? They might say, yes, I'm a Christian. And you can be like, I'm a Christian too. You know what? I got saved when I was 14. This is how it happened. How did you become a Christian? And you turn the thing around. So here's what we're going to do for the next 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. You turn around to your partner, and one of you be the one who's the visitor. One of you be the one who's introducing yourself, okay? I'm going to start. Pastor James going to start his timer. You said, I didn't know we were doing this tonight. I wouldn't have come to Liberty Baptist Church. Here we go. So I'm going to start right now. Guys, link up. If you have to go in a group of three, that's fine. Ms. Teresa, that's fine. All right, when you're done, just look this way. Brother Sonny, thank you for coming to church today. Is this your first time?
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you came. You perhaps going to come back with us sometime?
Good possibility. I think so.
Well, listen, Sonny, I'm glad that you came, and I hope you do come back again. But more important than coming to church is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if you're done, look up at me. If you're done, look up at me. Good job. I know it's kind of strange when we do this. Kind of strange. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can do this on your own, even without having a partner to do it with. You can actually look in the mirror and talk to yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you do that, make sure nobody's watching, because they might think you're a little bit strange. They come around the corner, and there you are, looking at yourself in the mirror, asking why you came to church today, okay? But what this does, what this does for you is this, is it helps you to get past this thing that you can't talk to somebody else. And friends, I'm serious about this. If somebody visits Liberty Baptist Church, you talk about in all the places, in all the world, somebody ought to get the gospel. It ought to be among God's people. In other words, if they're bold enough to come in here and don't know Jesus as their Savior, we ought to be bold enough to go over, introduce ourselves, say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm glad you came. Are you a Christian? I'm so glad you came here. And this is where I'm trying to get at for us. All right, now the second scenario we're going to do, and then we'll be done, I promise, with the scenarios, is... We are going to be in some near future. We're going to be going out and personally talking to folks out there, the random stranger. And we're going to be doing some door hanging and perhaps even some door knocking. So, Shannon, if you'll come up here, I'm going to use her as my example. She promised not to give a hard time. Now, when we go out... We go out two by two. That's biblical, by the way. And by the way, it's smart to go two by two, especially in the day that we're living, okay? And how many have had Jehovah's Witness knock on their door, say amen? Yeah. It's not a good thing. But it ought to bring shame to us that they're running the streets and we're not. Once you think of that, that they're serious about what they're doing. You know why? Because their salvation depends on it. That's why they're serious. You and I ought to be serious because we understand that every person you see is going to spend an eternity somewhere. Every soul. So if we walk up to a door, what we'll do is you knock on the door. By the way, this is just a Pastor James-ism. You have to knock 7 times, okay? You understand 7 is the number of perfection? I'm just kidding. But I do make a joke of it when I've gone out in times past. I'll be like, oh, only knock 6. They're not going to answer the door. But if you knock 7, which is God's number of perfection and completion, oh, man, they're coming to the door. No, I'm just kidding. That may or may not happen. But you knock on the door. Hi, how are you? My name is James Grandinetti. This is my partner here with me, Brother Kevin, and we're just out from Liberty Baptist Church. We wanted to invite you out to one of our church meetings. Do you have a church that you attend? Oh, okay. Well, listen, we would love it if you would stop by Liberty Baptist Church sometime. Right here is one of our pamphlets. On the back there, it tells the service times there. We also have our website as well. But listen, what was your name? Your name's Shannon. My name's James. Listen, more important, Shannon, than going to church is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I want you to come out to the church house meeting. I'd love to have you there. But listen, let me ask you the question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? So now when you get this response, and you'll get an actual real response just like that, I'm telling you, you'll have responses just like that. I'm a good person. I've been baptized. I went to church as a kid, or my dad's a pastor. You'll get all those kinds of responses. You have to pivot from that and be able to lead into the gospel presentation. But what we're dealing with today is just the introduction. And so the introduction, when you're out door knocking, is going to be to introduce, as if you don't know them, because you don't, is your name, the person that's with you, and if you're out door knocking or you're out for Liberty Baptist Church, you want to identify, hey, we're just out from Liberty Baptist Church in your neighborhood. We just want to invite folks out to church, let you know in the community that we're praying for you. Do you have a church home? And they're either going to say, guess what, yes. Or they're going to say no. They might even say, I'm not religious. They might say, I don't go to church at all. And to those responses, you have to be able to have a response to that. A lot of times I'll say this, more important than going to church is knowing Jesus as your Savior. Now, and I'll tell them, I said, now look, I'm a preacher. I'll never tell you not to come to church. But listen, I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And you just go right to it. Or you might say this way. If you were to die today, you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And if they say no, you know what you can respond to that with? Would you like to know? Would you like to know? If you ask them if they're saved, a lot of times you'll get a yes or no response to that. You say, hey, are you saved? They'll say yes. Well, we had a fellow one time who said he was saved. What he was meaning is he fell out of a tree one time, and God saved him from death. I'm serious. That's what he told us. He said there's an angel standing over him when he came conscious too, and he knows God saved him from death. And I said, you know what? That's not what I was talking about, right? But listen, what I'm trying to get you to do is think about how would you pivot through that conversation and turn the conversation to the gospel and be able to point somebody to Jesus, okay? It's real easy to say, hey, do you have a church you go to? Yes, I have a church I go to. Okay, well, listen, we don't like to pull people from their churches, but more important than going to church, you know Jesus as your Savior. You're not trying to pull them from their local church, but you need to find out if they know Jesus as their Savior. You need to find out if they're saved. I'm telling you, there's scores of folks that attend church their entire life and never have placed their faith and trust in Jesus and Him alone for their soul's salvation. And so what good does that do? They attend church their whole lives and they're not really saved. So now I want you to take a few minutes and now reverse roles. Whoever was talking the first time, I want you to be the opposite. And you can use the side of the thing. I want you to knock on the door and one person play the person on the inside. Another person role play and be the person talking to them about Jesus. You guys want to be my family I'm visiting? And I'll role play with you. That's no problem. I'll knock on your door. How about that? If you promise not to give me too hard a time. Okay. Oh, hey, my name is James. This is my friend Roland. And we're from Liberty Baptist Church. We're just out here in the neighborhood today. And I've got these wonderful invitations to church. I wanted to give you one. Do you have a church that you attend anywhere? Oh, well, listen. What was your name? I didn't get that. Julie, it's so nice to meet you. Again, my name is James. Listen, on that card I just gave you, it tells you the times that we have church service. Julie, I'd love it if you'd come out to the church meeting one time. But listen, let me ask you a question, Julie. More important than going to church, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, listen, would you mind if I take a few minutes of your time and show you how you can know heaven's your home and Jesus is your Savior? And so then, boom, you just lead right in. And so, listen, thinking through this process will help you when you run into somebody for the first time. It'll help you think about it. It will be different because, like, I know y'all and you know me and you never know what somebody's going to say. But I believe this, if you have an honest heart before the Lord and you desire to be a witness to somebody, He'll help you. He'll help you think on your feet. And I've had a lot of different encounters over the time. Yeah. All right, so Roland, you talk to me. I'm going to be the person with Miss Julie here inside the house. Yeah, you come talk to me. No. Hello, how are you? Nice to meet you. Oh, yeah, the church on the hill. You know what? I haven't been to church in a long time, but maybe I might come by Liberty Baptist sometime and go to church. Amen. You know what? I do know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. So sometimes I do this, Mr. Roland, when I'm talking to folks, if somebody tells me they're saved, I might tell them this, that look, you know what? I trusted in Jesus when I was 14 years old, and here's how it happened. And then when I'm done giving my testimony, I'll turn around and say, well, what was your testimony? How did you get saved? And what I'm really doing is I'm trying to figure out if they mean the same thing that I mean when I say, are you a born-again Christian, right? And if not, then I come back with Bible and show them, right? Yep, that's it. This role-playing thing is a lot of fun, and it's a powerful tool. And it just helps you break the dust off a little bit and get ready to get back into it, right? All right, praise the Lord. Amen, praise the Lord. And I know it's embarrassing sometimes a little bit, but that's right. All right, would you look this way? Thank you for being willing to do that. I think that's enough for tonight. I want to really, really quickly, as I have just a few minutes, give you the five steps. If you'll take your Bibles, and How many, by raise of hand, have marked in their Bibles how to walk through the Romans Road? How many have done that? Okay, good. I would encourage you, unless you haven't memorized, which some of you haven't memorized, and praise the Lord for that. If you haven't, take your Bible if you're not opposed to writing it in. I know some people are strange about that. They're like, I'm not writing in my Bible. But if you are okay with writing in your Bible, what I mean by a roadmap is this. Is you want to know where you're starting in the Bible and where you're finishing when you're going through the different steps of leading someone to the Lord. The reason I tell you to write a roadmap is because when you get nervous, your brain goes, poof. How many are there? When you get nervous, your brain goes blank. Yeah. So if you write a roadmap, it'll help you to kind of stay on track with your going from one point to another. Now, the five steps I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you some catchphrases to help you remember the steps. One of the greatest ways to memorize is association. If you associate, it helps you to remember things as a human being. And so this is just association. When I teach survey class, we give you short titles for every book of the Bible. For instance, the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. It tells you the entire thrust of the book of Genesis. It's about the beginnings, the first things. And I can tell you there's four major events. Creation, the fall, the flood, and Babel. And there's four major characters. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That encapsulates the book of Genesis. It's a book of beginnings. Beginnings of what? Beginnings of creation. Beginnings of man. Beginnings of the first murder. Beginnings of the first lie. All of it's there in the book of Genesis. Then you have the book of Exodus. It's a book of redemption. Redeeming who? The nation of Israel out of Egypt. And so it pictures in type our salvation. You know, the first place they stop when they leave Egypt is what? The river. Right? They're there at the Red Sea, right? They're there stuck. And guess what they have to do? Pass through the waters. You know, the first step of a believer is baptism. They have to pass through the waters after they receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Hey, guess what? God's the one who drove them there to a dead end in the road. Why? So they learn this very first Christian thing, and that is that you must rely wholly upon the Lord. You must rely wholly upon the Lord. They had to rely upon the Lord, right? And so the book of Exodus is a book of redemption. Book of Leviticus is a book of holiness. What does it teach us? It teaches us that you can't just approach God any way you feel like it. God outlines very specifically how you approach Him. The book of Numbers is a book of journeys. What are they journeying to? The promised land. They run up to the promised land. They lack faith, so they can't enter in. Then God makes them wander for 40 years, right? And so it's a book of journeys. So the steps I'm going to give you as short titles is just to help you remember. Step one, if you're writing it down, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. That's step one. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Romans 3.10, Romans 3.23. I'd start with Romans 3.10. I'd write down Romans 3.23 next to Romans 3.10 if you're writing a roadmap. And so you know to go from Romans 3.10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, to Romans 3.23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What are you trying to prove? I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. That's what you're showing them. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Step two, if you're writing it down, it is in your book, by the way, in case you don't want to write it down. Step two is this. There is an expected result from sin. There is an expected result from sin. See, the problem is most people are willing to admit that they sin, they do wrong. Most people are not naive enough to say or brazen enough to say, I've never done any wrong. Most people will admit that. The problem is they don't understand what the result of that means. And so step two is simply this. There's an expected result from sin. You write down next to Romans 3.23, Romans 6.23a, which says, for the wages of sin is death. What is the result from sin? Death. That's the result from sin. We're not talking about just physical death. We're talking about physical death and eventually eternal spiritual death, separation from God for all of eternity in a place called hell and eventually the lake of fire and brimstone, which the Bible says is the second death. Romans 6.23a. Then step three is this. God loves you and sent His Son to take your place. God loves you and sent His Son to take your place. In this step, Romans 6.23b, is the second part. So you emphasize the first part. The wages of sin is death. The second part says this, but, that turning word, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So at this point, you're going to want to turn to Romans 5:8. It says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and you're going to talk about Jesus. This is the point. Everything up to that is bad news. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. The so what? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. The expected result from sin is death. Now you're going to talk about the fact that God loves you and sent his son to take your place. You're going to talk about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The literal gospel message. Why did he come? He was a sinless son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life that you could not live, went to the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood to pay for your sin debt, and he was buried, and make sure you tell him 3 days later he rose again from the grave. Why? That's part of the gospel. Not just that he died on the cross. He was buried, 3 days later he rose again from the grave. That's important because he was raised for your justification. Romans 5:8. You might throw in there John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the next step is step four, do you believe? So now up to this point, you can check with them. Do you agree with God that you're a sinner? Yes. Do you understand that God says the wages of sin is death? Yes. Do you understand that Jesus the Christ, the Savior of all men, the Son of God, lived for you, died for you, was buried, and 3 days later rose again from the grave? Yes. Do you believe? For this, you turn to Romans 10 and verse number 9. So from either Romans 5:8, John 3:16, you're going to go to Romans 10:9. And Romans 10:9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You might also go on to the next verse, which talks about believing unto righteousness and confession being made unto salvation. You might explain to them that, listen, it's not just you repeating some prayer, but it's the heart of faith, belief, and trust in what God has done and said in his word, what God has done for you and said in his word about his wonderful Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, you may reference in that if you want on your roadmap to Ephesians 2:8 and 9, which says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why is that important? They need to understand that they're not working their way to heaven. They're trusting in Jesus and him alone. It's by God's grace through faith. And so it's the simple question that you're pointing out. Do you believe? Do you believe? And then last, step five is this. Ask Jesus to save you. So next to Romans 10:9 or Ephesians 2:8 and 9, depending on how you do it, you're going to put Romans 10 and verse number 13. Romans 10 and verse number 13. And we'll talk about each of these steps in detail. I'm not going to do so tonight for the sake of time. We'll talk about them in detail. But listen, you ask anybody, how do you call upon the Lord? Most people know that they call upon the Lord like this. What's this? Pray. I normally take my cell phone out and say, hey, can you call God with your cell phone? No. How do we call upon God? We pray. All right. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. You want to pray and ask Jesus to save you? And then at that point, guess what? The script is scripted for them, meaning that you let them pray and ask Jesus to save them. You can open up in prayer and then you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to pause for just a minute. And you call out to Jesus and ask him to save you. And listen, that's the roadmap. So you write that down. We're done with that for this night. I just want to take a couple of prayer requests